Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200, Bosky Home Services. Locally grown, locally owned. My friend Shelly Rep is in studio with us, New Mexico Dream Center. She is does an amazing amount of ministry to children involved with minor domestic sex trafficking. So listeners, heavy topic today. Shelly is an amazing woman. Shelly, one thing bothers me, though, is how come I'm always the oldest in the room when I have guests here? I've known Shelly since she was about 15 or 16 years old. And, you know, has raised a family, has been a foster parent, and I know you just do an amazing amount of work with kids. Grandparenting?
Grandparenting. Have two grandkids right now and another one on the way, supposed to arrive next month.
That's so really cool.
I know. I love
In the oven right now.
Yes. Well, and we had all daughters, mm-hmm. and all of our foster kids have been girls, and so all of our grandchildren are boys, and so it's been a really interesting adventure
that
with
is.
All those little guys.
Little guys, and I will say I have three girls and two boys.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, the girls were more difficult to parent, not because of their being girls, but I didn't know this. When they get to middle school, girls are mean to each other.
Yes,
middle school. It's crazy.
It is. Middle school are really the most difficult years, I think, in a girl's life. We look back at our own children, and we just refer to the middle school years as the dark ages.
Yeah.
Because they all just wanted to wear black. They just had black moods. It was just the dark time in their life for all three of our kids. And they're all great adults. They came out of it, but boy, middle school was challenging.
And when you talk about our own children this way and how hard it was and how challenging it was, and I'm so thankful that I don't have young children today.
Oh, it is a difficult, difficult world. It is a difficult world. And we think about it, Jim, like back when I was in high school and when I first met you and social media was at all.
Nope.
There were no cell phones, you know, so you had to actually like meet people in person and get to know them and see their character. And looking now at how that has changed, where it's very much the norm to get to know somebody online, so to speak, before you would ever even meet them in person. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's just sure opened up a lot of dangerous pathways and events.
It's such a challenge for young people, and especially when they're in a bad situation. Maybe they're fleeing abuse.
Right.
They're on the street for whatever reason, economic reasons, whatever they are. When I first had you on the show a couple years ago, you used the term, we work with children that are involved with minor domestic sex trafficking.
Correct.
So I don't know if I'm just totally naive, but I didn't really know this was a thing in Albuquerque. And not only is it a thing, but it's prevalent. Tell us about it.
It absolutely is. And it's not that it's just prevalent in Albuquerque. It is prevalent across the United States. So when people think about sex trafficking within the United States, and especially here in New Mexico, a lot of times they think of that border trafficking. So they think of the human trafficking that's happening on the border, of traffickers bringing people in across the border. And so they have this thought in their mind so often that it's a foreign national that is being trafficked. And that absolutely does happen. But by and large, the largest percentage of trafficked people in the United States were actually born in the United States. And so that's why we would call it the domestic minor sex trafficking, is because they were actually born here and they're trafficked in the United States. And what we see across the U.S. is that the average age of entry into sexual exploitation are the teen years. And one study by a group called Covenant House actually points to the very young teen years of 12 to 14 years old as the average age of entry into commercial sexual exploitation. So it goes back to those middle school students that we were talking about, and with our own children and how girls were mean to each other, you know, all those kinds of things. What we have to realize is that those middle school years are very unique. And there's some inbuilt natural vulnerabilities that are already occurring there. You add some other red flags that could lead to other vulnerabilities, and you've got a perfect human trafficking victim for a predatory trafficker.
And the fact that these predators are all over the place, you even told us that you can go out on Central, say between Eubank and Louisiana, And you can look at these people and know who they are.
You absolutely can. And it's all on the Central Corridor. You can basically start at Tramway down to about San Mateo. Kind of takes a little bit of a break there, Knob Hill, UNM, and then picks up around 64th Street. And so when you look at that, there is absolutely open what we would often terms look at and say that's prostitution. But because there's this controlling force, it moves the definition from prostitution to trafficking. And what you'll often see is somebody who is, a young woman, a girl out there looking to set up a date, so to speak, and you will see across the street or kind of down one of the side streets on Central that controlling person who is watching them, who is absolutely keeping an eye on them and knowing that they're there.
And we would call that a pimp.
We would call that a pimp.
Is that appropriate, or is that no longer you're allowed to say pimp?
Yeah, you can. So I have really strong feelings about the word pimp, and so here are my feelings. A pimp is absolutely somebody who coerces and directs a person in a sex trafficking situation. So you could call him a pimp or you could call him a trafficker. What I don't like is I don't like when people use pimp to describe like extravagant things like I'm going to pimp up my house or I'm going to pimp up my ride. That just kind of like gives me a little bit of heartburn because a pimp's a criminal. And so I don't want my house or my car to be associated with criminal activities. And so so that's kind of the way I think about the word pimp. But in this vernacular, in this instance, they are absolutely a pimp, 100%.
Tell us about the New Mexico Dream Center and how you're helping people.
So the New Mexico Dream Center offers two programs that are distinct, but then also kind of connect together. So our first program is called Spoken For. And Spoken For provides aftercare services for identified victims of human trafficking. And that aftercare looks like immediate shelter and housing. So we do have emergency shelter so a trafficking victim can come in and have a safe place to be. And then after about, let's say, a 2-week shelter stay, they could do intake into our transitional living program so that they would have that type of housing while we're working on permanent housing for them. The aftercare also encompasses case management, helping these clients get connected to the different services that they need, and really helping them get their wheels underneath them so that they can go forward in their lives. And so that's Spoken For. The second program we have is called The Harbor, and you've been out to our harbor facility before. So we are very specifically located off of Central, so basically the Central and Zuni area, and that is a drop-in center. And so the drop-in center is specifically for young people who are experiencing homelessness, so they can come to the harbor, they can get hot food, they can get takeaway food with them, convenience kinds of items. They can take a shower. They can do their laundry. We have a computer lab. They can get hygiene. They have clothing. And the other option for them is they can start to connect with services. And so services look like case management, again, to help them get into housing or shelter or if they, would like to reunify with family, any of those kinds of things. The way they connect, Jim, is that, again, I mentioned the average age of entry into, sex trafficking is essentially these teen years. Well, when you are a homeless teen, when you are a young person who is on the streets, you are likely to be approached by a trafficker within 48 hours. You, in fact, some stats will talk about 1 in 5 homeless kids will end up in a sex trafficking relationship that they can't exit. And 1 in 3 will end up in something that we call survival sex, which is exactly how it sounds. It is exchanging sex acts for basic needs, so for shelter, for clothing, for food, those types of things. And so the goal of the harbor is to be able to mitigate that. If we can provide food, if we can provide connections to services, if we can provide some of those things, then what we're doing is we're helping address the vulnerability of that population, and then perhaps we're able to help some kids not end up as sex trafficking victims.
Shelley, you are a ministry.
Yes.
You help anyone, regardless of their faith position.
Exactly.
But how are you funded? Talk to us now about how our listeners can help and what you're doing. Absolutely. I know you're sharing the gospel with people.
Yes, absolutely. So we are funded by private donations. We have been able to receive some grants, so both private grants, and we were able to receive some federal funding that does not impede on any of our goals with the gospel at all. And that's how we're funded right now. The other kind of aspect to that, Jim, is that we definitely use people power. And so not only is it that we need finances, but we need people who help us run these programs. I cannot hire enough staff or pay enough people to do all the things that we need to do and all the things that we're currently doing. So we really require and rely on volunteers to do a lot of things, everything from side-by-side mentoring types of relationships with our human trafficking victims to we have outreach happening 4 days a week right now, and that is completely run by a volunteer team that will go out and meet these kids, will go out and have the opportunity to spread the gospel and also really give out some valuable resources.
And you do train people when they volunteer.
Yes, we are not going to just throw you out there on the streets. I'm not going to say, okay, you have fun. Here's your
hygiene
kit.
Walking down Central, I don't care what time of day, makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. So generally what we do the first time the person would have the option to ride in one of our assistance vehicles. So we never just send anybody out on the street by themselves. We always have two teams, one on the north side of Central, one on the south side of Central, and they walk kind of in conjunction. So that way they can keep an eye on each other. So if one team is stopped and talking to somebody, the other team has to stop. They can't keep going because then their job is to make sure everything's cool. Well, each of those teams also has an assistance vehicle. So that car is basically circling them the whole time, keeping an eye on them, making sure that it's safe. And then if something would happen to pop off down on Central, they have an escape route immediately because then that car is able to pull over, they get in, and then they would exit. But we also do outreach. We do outreach at parks. We do outreach at the skate park. We do outreach at the sleazy hotels, motels, where a lot of times these victims are being kept. We do outreach at truck stops. So our outreach is really grown these last several months, and we're excited about that.
I have this image in my mind that as a Christian, you're trying to outnumber the bad guys.
I like that.
In recruiting kids to come to Jesus rather than to be trafficked. It's almost like a race to get to them first.
I had never thought about it like
that.
What
a cool reason to volunteer, because you can be part of that race. You can be out there getting a hold of these kids before a bad guy can get them.
Exactly. And the thing to think about with that, too, is that, you know, our God's a relational God, right? I mean, that is his purpose with us, is to have relationship. And that's how we see these things happening on the streets, is building those relationships. And so really, it gives you an opportunity as a believer to start building a relationship with another person that you might be the only light that they have in their life. And I think that's a really beautiful thing to think about. But I love that race imagery. Good job, Jim.
Well, I just had that pop in my head. It's like, okay, it's getting dark.
Yeah.
Well, two things are happening in Albuquerque right now. We're at about 80-degree weather.
Yeah.
People are coming to Albuquerque because it's warm. You know, you're not going to freeze to death at night. Still a little chilly at night, but here in another month, it'll be perfectly warm.
Yes.
So the homeless population increases, and I can just see these bad guys recruiting.
Oh, yes.
And they're like, in a terrible way, they're business people.
Oh, yes.
And they're trying to go out and recruit as many people as they can. But listen to me, sex trafficking of children. Come on. We got to go grab these kids. We got to let them know that they are loved, they're cared for, that God has a purpose for them that's really special, and they don't have to be trafficked. They don't have to go through that.
Right. You're 100% right. And I think people don't realize that trafficking is really an economic crime. I mean, these traffickers provide supply because there is demand. And so when we look at this, the economics of it is absolutely something that has to be addressed.
Well, when we come back in our next segment, we're going to talk about maybe some media perspectives on human trafficking and prostitution. But we're also going to talk about what our legislature has been doing lately, because it makes me scratch my head when I see some of the things they're trying to pass. We'll be back with Shelley Rep. She's the director of the New Mexico Dream Center right after these messages.
Serving you and your family.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosca and we'll be there.
At Creca Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Creca Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheCrecaLawFirm.com. The C-R-E-C-C-A LawFirm.com.
Whether dining inside or eating on the patio of our favorite local restaurants, let's get out and support them, including Casa Taco, uniquely prepared craft tacos made fresh to order, Nacho Mama's Tacos, Grass Burger, using 100% grass-fed beef, darn healthy, eatgrassburger.com, Village Pizza, two locations, great homemade pizza, the best ingredients. Ordering, delivery, takeout, or pickup are still available. They need us, and truth be told, we need them. Bon appetit.
Connection Communications has an immediate opening on the Calvary Osuna campus for a full-time media assistant. This position is in the general manager's office, where responsibilities include arranging promotional events, supervising local and international mission support, and coordinating Calvary radio, TV, and social media schedules. If you're looking for a diverse position with kingdom impact, apply at calvarynm.church/jobs. That's calvarynm.church/jobs to apply for this media assistant position at Connection Communications.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. If you're refinancing or looking to purchase a new home, the team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. And nobody cares more about your children than Shelley Rep. She's in studio with me. She's the director of the New Mexico Dream Center. Shelley, you really do have an amazing heart for children, not only your own, but a lot of others that are wandering the streets of Albuquerque and subject to literally the most terrible thing I can even think about is human sex trafficking.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, we have to realize that when we think about homeless people, it's really super easy to just jump to this conclusion of older, chronically homeless males. Like, we look at that and that's kind of what we think. And we see a lot of that, very obvious around Albuquerque. But I always want to challenge people to pay attention and look, because you would be surprised at how many young people on the street that are homeless. They aren't going to act the same way that a chronically homeless population is going to act, but that they are there and they need help. Jim, think about it this way. If we were able to really address youth homelessness and turn that around, we are by attrition addressing our chronic homeless population. Like, over years, we would be able to have less and less, fewer and fewer people homeless chronically and needing those kinds of services if we could start addressing this now, as well as just protecting them from those predatory traffickers.
So I'm going to skip down my list a little bit to play off of what you just said. How many homeless children are there if we have as many as 10,000 people that are homeless in our city right now, and it increases in the summer? How many of those are youth?
So the estimate is between 5 and 7,000 within a year in Albuquerque of being a homeless young person, a homeless youth. When you look at the national stats, a report came out from Health and Human Services Department, and they had estimated that 40% of all homeless people in the United States are unaccompanied minors. Like, This is a big deal, Jim. This is a big deal. 40% across the United States.
And there's some obstacles to them getting help on their own. And a person that's an adult that's homeless has more options than a youth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you're a kid in New Mexico specifically, you can't check yourself into a youth shelter. You have to have permission from your parents or guardian. And so that may or may not be a viable option depending on what your circumstances are. We also have less than 75 beds in Albuquerque to address this staggering number of homeless youth that they have. And so we've got a shortage of beds. Homeless kids can't check themselves into a hotel or a motel like an adult could because they're too young. And then they can't get food stamps for themselves. So then you're adding onto that insecurity around food. And so that causes a desperate kid to make desperate decisions.
And the predators.
And the predators
the
are
bad
banking
guys.
On those desperate decisions.
And then I'm appealing to our listeners now. That's the race that I talked about in our first segment.
Yes.
These
yeah.
kids are walking around. You know the obstacles now that they are facing.
Right.
And it's a race to go find them and help them.
Right. And here's the thing to think about, too, is a lot of times, not always, but often, somebody will think about a kid coming into a trafficking situation by being kidnapped. So they're like, this kid gets snatched off the street, which can happen, but it doesn't very often happen like that. They get snatched off the street, but nobody's looking for them because they're a runaway. They've run away from home, or they're a throwaway. They've been kicked out of their home. And so there's not that same type of thing where there's these police reports and they're all out looking for these kids. So they're disappearing. They're being put into these trafficking situations. But nobody even knows because of the situation of their vulnerability, because of that homelessness.
It's all horrible, but here's another scenario that you've shared with us in the past. Sometimes families are trafficking their own children.
I know. You know, so often, I remember when I first started learning about trafficking, I just assumed that that type of thing happened in like Thailand or Cambodia or just these undeveloped parts of the world. But it absolutely happens here in the United States. We had a client who came to us as an adult. She came to us in her 30s, which is pretty old for the clients that we get in general. But her dad had been trafficking her since she was 9 years old. And so it had started with sexual abuse in the home. There were all sorts of signs. And so Child Protective Services had been called multiple times to the house. And the family got tired about it. Mom was involved and knew that this was happening. So they decided to pull her from school and they started homeschooling her. Well, once they were homeschooling her, she was completely off the grid. And that is when this dad took advantage and essentially trafficked her all around the state that they were in and then eventually around the United States. So that's one aspect of familial trafficking. The other aspect that we see, and we have horrible stories here in New Mexico about that, is families that have children, they fall into great need. It generally happens because of addiction and substance use. They're not able to pay their bills. They're not able to buy their drugs. And so they end up trafficking their child to provide income for their family, which is horrific to think about it. But that is what happened to Victoria Martins, that very famous case in Rio Rancho a few years back. It happened to a 7-year-old girl who was identified by her teacher at an elementary school in Albuquerque 2 years ago. And it's happening still. Those were just the two that made the headlines here in New Mexico.
I'm overwhelmed by this. I mean, this hurts my heart so much to think that a child is facing these kinds of things and how their lives could turn around if they knew that God loved them and would bring them into a protective situation. So if you know of somebody, if you're the friend, if you're a middle school student, you're listening to this broadcast and you know a friend that's going through this kind of stuff, or maybe you're going through it yourself, Shelley, how do they get in touch with you and get help?
Sure. So, Jim, this is one of the cool things that is new from the last time that we talked about is that we actually now have a 24/7 response line. So you can call or you can text, and we've got somebody on the other end of that line who can provide immediate response to a situation around human trafficking. And so that number is 505-504-1301. And again, 505-504-1301. 504-1301.
So call or text.
Call or text. And then there's a person that is answering those situations so that we can provide an answer. And so part of this rollout of this hotline is in collaboration with our law enforcement partners, specifically the Attorney General's office. So one of the grants that I had mentioned before where we've got a little bit of federal money is as part of the Attorney General's office. So here's the deal. They, out of all of the agencies in New Mexico that they could work with, they picked us, this little Christian faith-based organization, to be part of a statewide project to start building resource pathways in the state of New Mexico for children who are trafficked. So looking at the state, being strategic about where the gaps in services are, how do we mitigate those gaps? How do we bring services to kids? How do we bring kids to services? And so we have the privilege of being the partner with them to be able to do that. And I think that is an amazing God thing right there.
Absolutely is. I want to go to the demand side. In our second half hour, we're going to talk about more about your partnerships with law enforcement. We're going to talk about how you support police. You already mentioned the Attorney General's office. I don't know if you're working with the Sheriff's Department yet, but I know they're running across a bunch of things. I just had Bernalillo County Sheriff Manny Gonzalez on the phone, Gonzalez, and he was wonderful talking about various things. So we're going to talk about that in our second half, but you mentioned demand earlier.
Yes.
None of this would be happening unless there were people that wanted to have sex with children.
You are exactly right.
What? I mean, that concept is just bizarre. And you have some ideas about, you know, why that's happening. But before we go there, talking about this today, I would expect every one of our New Mexico legislators, both in the House and the Senate, to know this information and say, we are unanimously going to stop this. But that's not happening, Shelley.
It's absolutely not happening. In fact, so this is the second year in a row where we have tried to pass some legislation addressing human trafficking, and it got stalled in the Senate. It has always passed the House of Representatives and then goes to the Senate and then gets stalled for a long time. So it's not like, oh, we just didn't hit our timings right and we just ran out of time, but it is stopped. And so we had House Bill HB 56 for this year's legislation. And this was a rewrite and an update from the 2020 legislation that we had. And this legislation addressed some very specific things. So it increased penalties for the crime of trafficking. And the way that it did that is it was going to change some definitions. And so a trafficker now, which is why the penalties are so low, a trafficking crime does not fall under sex crimes. It falls under a completely different form of crime. Sex crimes have very high penalties, and there's a lot of structure around that, but being a trafficker hasn't fallen under that. And so we wanted to redefine a human trafficker, a sex trafficker, as a sex criminal so that they would fall into those parameters for the judicial system. And so that was one of the things that we tried to do. The other part within that was we wanted to change the age categories around sex crimes. So currently there are more stringent criminal impact if you are under the age of 13 and a sex crime is committed against you. So there's higher penalties if you're under 13 and some sort of sex crime happens to you. But between 13 and 17, it's as if you were an adult. And I'm thinking a kid is a kid. A 13-year-old kid is a kid, like a 12-year-old kid, like a 14-year-old kid. And so we wanted to take away that that increase in penalties for those younger crimes and make them all the same. Let's treat our 16-year-olds as the young person they are, as the child they are, instead of having a very small penalty because you're 16 versus a larger penalty because you're 12. And so that was another aspect of this legislation that we were trying to get passed.
I want to encourage our listeners to take 15 minutes. I want you to go to nm, LIGIS.gov.
Yes.
I want you to click on the button that says legislation.
Yes.
And then I want you to enter in, it'll default to the 2021 special session, which I call the dope special session. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. You need to go to the general session, or regular session 2021. And then I want you to enter in HB 56.
Yes.
Then I want you to go in and I want you to see how every one of our representatives voted on that piece of legislation.
Right.
Because it's right there on the website. Then I want our listeners, if you would, please, I'm pleading with you, I'm praying, that you will then say, wow, my representative doesn't want to punish human sex traffickers.
Right.
This is a person I should not be voting for.
Right.
Equally, you're going to see the people that have had some courage and said, we got to step up and protect our children.
Yes.
Now, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I'm telling you how to figure out how your representatives are voting on matters that really matter to us and our families.
You're right, Jim. And honestly, this legislation, which I appreciate the dope session, I appreciate that terminology because that's what ended up happening. However, this should have been and could have been the children's session. There were several bills addressing child welfare in our state that were all stalled. Not one of them passed. We had crime bills that were portrayed as fish and game bills that fortunately we were able to stall, but they have not been resolved. They will be rewritten, I'm sure, and they'll try again in 2022. And so in looking at this, we really had an amazing opportunity in 2021. It was a long session. We had lots of time to get a lot of work done, and it got stalled and didn't pass. And yet we feel okay about having a special session to vote for the legalization of recreational marijuana instead of looking at maybe a state like Tennessee where they had a special session to address child welfare. I'm like, what are we going to do? New Mexico? We got to take care of our kids.
We got to quit taking steps backward and move forward. And Shelley Rep is the director of the New Mexico Dream Center. She's graciously offered to be with us the whole hour today. So we've got another half an hour with her. Hope you'll stay with us. Lots more to talk about. Domestic minor sex trafficking is our topic today. We'll be right back.
So how is your stress level on a scale of 1 to 10? Stress is a thief, a robber of peace and joy. Here's Skip Heitzig with a pointed observation.
If you don't live with an anchor of faith, you're going to drift in a sea of anxiety. And most people in the world, they don't have anything to anchor. They have no real grand scheme or purpose in life.
We want to help you live with an anchor of faith so you can learn to lean into God in times of anxiety by sending you three powerful resources. Skip Heitzig's new booklet, Overcoming an Anxious Mind. His teaching, Worship in the Uncertainty on CD. Plus, the War is Over Worship CD. This bundle is our thanks when you give $35 or more today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig.
Jesus as Savior brings peace with God, but Jesus as Lord brings the peace of God.
Call now to request these three encouraging resources when you give 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
Managing like Tommy. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. The great Tommy Lasorda once said, managing is like holding a dove in your hand. Squeeze too hard and you kill it. Not hard enough, and it flies away. You know, when coaches have retired and then come out of retirement to coach the game they love again, they oftentimes sense that things have changed. Their old school tactics aren't having the results they once did. They realize that if they squeeze too hard, they might just bind up the team with fear. If they don't instill enough discipline, the team begins to break down. You know, parenting is a lot like that too, isn't it? If parents are too strict, it squashes the spirit of a child. If they aren't willing to discipline, the child has no sense of boundaries, and like the dove, they might fly away. So how do you manage your kids like Tommy managed his Dodgers? The answer is to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 6:4 states, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision at visionforlife.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming here on KNKT Radio and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Shelly Rep is the director of the New Mexico Dream Center. She is a mom, a wife, a grandmother, and really concerned about what's going on with kids. Let's talk a little bit more about the legislature. And I did want to mention, before I let you talk about some other bills that were defeated, there's been an idea that's been postulated to me. And I'm not going to broadcast something like this publicly on the air using anybody's names till I have a chance to research it, which I'm doing now. I'm told that there are some attorneys in our legislature and in our state senate that are people that defend people that are human sex traffickers, and that they are partially responsible for defeating these bills. I am doing a thorough investigation about that. When I find out names, our listeners are going to find out about those, because it's my belief that voters need to understand how they are being represented. When you're a New Mexico legislator, you are not supposed to take your ideas to the legislature. You're supposed to take the ideas and wants and desires of your constituents, of your district. You're supposed to spend time, find out what your community wants. And I think that's been lost.
I would have to agree. And I can't wait for you to do that research, Jim. I think that's an excellent place to look. I would also say that maybe direct some of that research to the trafficking, not just human trafficking, but drug and arms trafficking that takes place in Valencia County, because there's a lot of really suspicious things that happen in Valencia County. And we happen to see a pattern with a lot of votes from the representatives in that area. So I think that would be really an interesting deep dive. And you go, Jim Williams.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know, we live in a country where we have liberties. We have freedom. I mean, it's truly a God-blessed nation and has been up to this point. But I believe that we are misusing the liberty. Liberty doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want.
Right.
You cannot do things in this country that harm other people. And for a man to take a 12-year-old girl and sell her to some unbelievably demented human being that wants to have sex with her, and I don't care if I'm hurting your feelings, if you're one of those people, you need to repent. You need to understand that God will, in fact, heal you, and you need to stop that behavior. But I'm not going to apologize making people give an account publicly for what they've done, how they voted, and the reasons behind that. But I don't want to just go out there and sling mud. That's not what this program's about. This program's about facts. This program's about people giving an account. We give an account of ourselves. We know that every human being is flawed. We know that every one of us has sin in our lives. We know that when we bring that before the Lord, and even when we bring it publicly, I've shared my shortcomings more often than I like. That's when God works. He uses our weakness to show his strength. And I mean, if you're a sex trafficker, I want you to be convicted. I want you to go, wow, I'm blowing it. God has something else for me. Maybe I go from being a sex trafficker to being fighting against it. I don't know. There's something miraculous that can happen if you just realize that you're just doing the wrong thing.
I agree. I think that everybody should have some introspection about their life. I think that it is anybody who feels okay about using other people for their benefit is a dangerous person and somebody that really needs to take a pretty deep look, because, you know, we wouldn't ever want to be treated that way. So it's that golden rule thing. Why are we okay with others being treated that way? And it's interesting that we see in our state so much outcry about how, let's say, animals are treated versus how our children in our state are being treated. And the hypocrisy of that is just astounding to me at times.
Yeah, and I see no reason why our animals and our children and our adults cannot be can be protected. Because it's not this is not rocket science.
Right.
This is hard work. But this is we can get the bad guys out of here. We really can. And we have to come together as a unit. I guess I have to go now to the demand.
Yeah.
The demand for this type of perversion is created by a society that can access pornography and other kinds of things. How is the media misrepresenting all of this?
Sure. So a couple of things that I think, you know, Jim, that you said that was really profound is, I'm going to go back, but I'm coming to this, is, you know, the bad guys. How do we get the bad guys out of here? Well, we know there's always going to be bad guys, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's always going to be. But the demand is what is creating the bad guys to develop the supply. And so if we want to get the bad guys out of here, yes, we want to have good legislation. We want high penalties. We want all of those things. But we have to understand that the supply side is going to continue to increase if we don't decide that we as a society have to address demand. So a couple of things that we see in the media and around the media is that pornography is legal and prevalent, and pornography is something that is a building enterprise. And so you start with softcore porn, you start accessing harder and deeper and more pornography, and those things lead towards like child pornography. Now, fortunately, child pornography is still legal, but it is still incredibly accessible. Pornography is a huge aspect of human trafficking. It does several things. So one is pornography is used as training material for trafficking victims. And so especially young trafficking victims, this is how they are trained to perform an act when they are purchased. And so it's training material. Pornography is absolutely exploitive in that it uses trafficking victims very often within the filming of pornography. And so there is an amazing case. You can watch the documentary on Netflix if you have Netflix, that's called Finding Jane Doe. And it is about a mother who found her 16-year-old daughter who was being used in pornography. She had been sex trafficked and was currently being used in pornography, and how that mother found her. And so that is something that we absolutely see, is that sex trafficking victims are absolutely being used in pornography. And then pornography is part of the money trail around sex trafficking. So it affects every single aspect of sex trafficking in the United States and across the world. And so we have to know that this is a big, ugly industry, and we have to decide, is this the big, ugly industry that we want to continue to use children in this way? So pornography creates demand. Now, it used to be, Jim, because again, I was a teen in the 80s, and you remember back then, because we didn't have smartphones or any of that, if you wanted to access pornography, you had to go to the dirty bookstore and sneak in there and go buy a magazine or something like that. And that's not the way it is anymore. So anybody on their smartphone can access this immediately. We are fooling ourselves if we don't think that children are accessing it, young children. And so because of that easy access, what happens is that pornography hook comes in at a younger age. And so you're growing a child from this young age where they start accessing pornography to deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper pornography, making it more and more and more okay to purchase a person, to abuse a person, to do this with a person, because this is what they have seen over and over and over again. And it's perfectly legal.
I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I was a mortgage loan officer many years ago, I had a gentleman come in, apply for a loan, and he had done some things online, he was actually one of my neighbors. And so he didn't clearly fill out the form and everything. So I asked him to stop by the house. So this is about 7 o'clock at night, probably a July evening, still light outside. I'll never forget this. At the time, my oldest son, who's now 29 years old, he was probably 7. This gentleman came in my house and I began to have a conversation with him. I said, well, you didn't really fill out what your occupation is. Well, what I ended up finding out in the conversation is that he worked for this movie theater chain, which is up and down Central, and his job was to review pornographic movies before they put them on for sale. But here's the point I wanted to make. Without my 7-year-old hearing any of this conversation, I'm feeling I still took care of him. I treated him and honored him as a person. I did have a chance to talk to him about the Lord a little bit, but I'll never forget this part. My son walked into the room. I had a little office set up in the front of our house, and he walked in, and my oldest son gets along with everybody. Everybody loves him, totally happy kid. As soon as he saw this man, he started crying. Wow. And I just know that he had spiritual discernment, that this was a person that had some other spirit other than the Lord's present. And he knew it, and I knew it, and it was, but I could tell that his life was taken over. He was not managing his own life. Now, he passed away a very short time later.
Oh, wow.
And so I never had a chance to see him change or do any of those kind of things, but I'll never forget the almost spiritual oppression that I felt in his presence. And a lot of men think, especially because of the prevalence of and the ease of access on the internet to pornography, that they are doing something that isn't harming anyone else. And that's not true, is it?
That is not true. And that is really a prevalent idea. Pornography harms the development of the brain. It bypasses it. It changes it. Pornography harms their marriage relationship if they're married. It harms future relationships that they have if they're not married. It allows us to feed something in our soul that is dangerous. And when you feed the dangerous things, you're going to do dangerous things. And so you have to really understand and address that we all have choices that we make. And somebody can easily go from accessing pornography, not thinking anything about it, to purchasing women, to purchasing children, and you just go down this dark, dark pathway. Plus, the other thing you have to understand is you don't know the story on the other side of the lens. You don't know what that person is, if they're being forced or not, if it's their own free will. You don't know if they are being taken advantage of because they're on drugs, which is super common. You don't know where they go after this. And so there's so many other side of the lens, other side of the screen stories that you don't know. And the harm that is done and can be done is crazy.
I remember I heard a speaker talking about this, and he said, men, if you're lusting over a woman that's involved in a pornographic scene and you're watching that, you need to remember that that is someone's daughter.
Yes. Yes.
But here's the part that bothers me. These sex traffickers know those are somebody's daughter, and they still do it.
They do.
And yet we're not taking the action we need to eliminate, you know, that whole distribution network. Absolutely. And again, the demand. We need people to be healed of this. And it will totally change your life if you can escape being enslaved by pornography. So that's a whole nother topic we'll have to talk about another time.
Sure.
When we come back, Shelley, we're going to talk a little bit about how you're working with law enforcement.
Great.
Talk about some of the hopeful things moving forward that you have going. Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, and she tries to protect our children that are involved in domestic minor sex trafficking. We will be back. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In. I thought he was never supposed to walk again.
He wasn't.
It was Sarah.
Jesus said that if someone had faith the size of a mustard seed, she could move mountains. In the new movie, The Girl Who Believes in Miracles, young Sarah Hopkins takes that promise seriously. First, her faith revives a dead bird. Then, Sarah's prayers heal a paralyzed friend. She soon becomes a media sensation. But Sarah also grows mysteriously sick, and doctors don't know why. The Girl Who Believes in Miracles explores the mystery of faith and prayer, even as it focuses on our hope in Jesus. Content-wise, there's one profanity and some teen drinking. So we're giving The Girl Who Believes in Miracles a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
How do you lead up effectively? Honor matters. Showing honor matters. If you don't feel a sense of honor for the person who is above you, they're going to sense it through you. If you're looking around going, I could do better than that, you know, I should be in that role. What you need to understand is that if you were supposed to be in that role, you would be in that role. You're not in that role because you're not yet supposed to be in that role. If you want one day to be over others, you need to learn to be under others and show honor. Show honor where you are. Now, you may say, well, you know, but my leader is not amazing. You're mixing respect and honor. When you remember that respect is earned, honor is given. Honor those in authority over us. We believe that they are there because they're supposed to be there, and we're going to serve them and help their mission be better.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Want to remind everybody that Calvary College is inviting you to be a student for an evening where you can experience on-site classes, course materials, and discuss our college with current enrolled students. Join us at 6:30 p.m. in the Plex on the campus of Calvary Church at Osuna. On Monday, April 12th, for Theology with Dr. Nelson Walker. On Tuesday, April 13th, on the history and authenticity of the Bible with Dr. Brian Nixon, or again on Thursday, April 15th, for the Spiritual Foundations class with Dr. Nelson Walker. Registration is required. Go to calvarynm.church/events to register. Again, the April 12th, 13th, and 14th, 13th and 15th. And those are free classes with Calvary College, so you can test them out. Calvary College is now accredited and all kinds of cool stuff, so you can get an actual degree. You can audit classes. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on in many degree programs. Shelley Rep with the New Mexico Dream Center is in studio. We talked a little bit about Rob Thomas, the president of your board, local insurance guy. He's got a heart like you. Be sure and tell Rob we said hi. I haven't talked to him for a while.
Absolutely.
And, it's hard work when you think about the challenges that are before you. But let's talk about some things that are hopeful. How are you working now with law enforcement to help?
So this is just what's really exciting to us, is that we have been able to get a contract with the Attorney General's office here in New Mexico. And they had written a grant to address the outcomes for child trafficking victims in our state, and they needed a contract agency to kind of go alongside and do the work. And we were the ones that they contracted with. And so it's so exciting to be a faith-based organization and, you know, kind of a small organization picked by the AG's office to really work on these big issues. And so what we're doing is we're setting up resource pathways around the state of New Mexico so that it doesn't matter where a child is identified as being a trafficking victim, we're going to help them get to the right services that they need and be able to move through those kinds of services.
What do you need from our lawmakers?
Oh, yeah. So this is what I need. I need us to pass something similar to House Bill 56, where we can absolutely have traffickers understand, sex traffickers specifically understand, that they're going to be convicted of a sex crime, which means they'll have to be on a registry, which means they won't be able to live within, you know, 500 feet of a school, which means that they'll, you know, all of the things that go with a sex crime, because this is a huge deterrent. I need our lawmakers to pass something like that so that we can, so that there's less incentive to be a trafficker. Cause right now there's not a whole lot of incentive to not be a trafficker. I mean, you can get 3 years if that's all you're charged with, is you get 3 years jail time. Whereas if you're a sex crime person, you get a whole lot more. So we need that. We also need to address within our child welfare services, CYFD, Children, Youth, and Families Department, we really need to address the needs of children who are homeless or precariously homed. We need to address the substance use issues that follow with those types of children. So we need to look at those kinds of issues as well. I think we need to understand that judicial reform, which is a big thing in New Mexico that they've talked a lot about, is important. Judicial reform starts with baseline crimes. It does not start with sex crimes, which is what tried to happen in the legislature this year, where there was House Bill 120, which was promoted as a fish and game bill. And the first couple pages were about changing some language and penalties for fish and game crimes. And then the last like 16 pages of that bill were all about lessening penalties for sex crimes. And we can't do that. Sex crimes are real, and it's important that we protect people from rape. It's important that we protect people from trafficking. So we really need to look at important legislature that protects victims and punishes criminals.
Do you think we need pastors to strongly consider, and elders, any leadership in the church? Women could do a good job of addressing some of these issues. Do we need to stand up, men, and say, look, pornography is used by so many men. There's data suggesting that it's 70-80%. That includes people that are in church.
Absolutely.
We need men to repent and escape the slavery.
Absolutely. So let's think about this, Jim. Almost every church, doesn't matter the size, has some form of women's ministry and some form of men's ministry. And from what I've seen, men's ministry ends up being a workforce for the church. Like, we're going to have a clean-up day, go rake all the leaves, sweep the parking lot, you know, those kinds of things. Or it's the men's breakfast where they get together at 7 o'clock in the morning and fellowship and eat pancakes and then leave. We need accountability around pornography. I think every men's ministry in the United States needs to address pornography. This is a silent, deadly issue across the men in the United States, and we're letting it remain. We're not addressing it, and it is not going to get better by itself, and it's only going to increase because of the ease of accessing it on the internet, on your phone, at work.
I sometimes get feedback because we're not a religious program, but we are looking at things from a Christian worldview. So sometimes I receive criticism for that. But in regard to pornography, it's interesting to go to a website like Fight the New Drug.
Yes.
This is a completely secular site that will tell you what is happening to you physiologically.
Yes.
When you're involved, your brain synapses are rewired, and there's all kinds of craziness that happens if you're addicted, literally addicted, like a drug.
Yes.
Fight the New Drug is the name of the website. Google that. Go to it.
Yep.
It's so prevalent. What do our listeners need to pray about, Shelley?
So, hey, we are really working hard at opening a group home, so pray about that. We're looking at property, we're writing programming, and we're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops to get it licensed. And so please pray for wisdom, for provision, for guidance, and all of that. And then, you know, with this statewide opportunity we have with the Attorney General's office, that we could really shine Jesus brightly in these dark places in our state.
I'm so glad you could join us, and I know this is the first time we've had you on this year, so we're going to make sure you get back on the air in the next 5 or 6 weeks, and we'll put together a schedule after we get off the air so people can hear from you more frequently. How do they get in touch with you if they want to donate?
So, hey, go to our website, nmdreamcenter.org, and there's a donate button that you can just click on and make your donations there. You can also donate items. Find it in the same spot.
Thank you, Shelley Rep. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jim Williams. Good to see you again.
Bye.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.